identifying Antichrist, identifying the Antichrist, you want to remember Christ foretold us all things. There shouldn't be any guesswork. If you really are one of God's elect, if you're a student of God's Word, you don't have to wonder who the Antichrist is. You know. And the reason we know is the Word of God. Let's go to it, if we may, the book of Ephesians, to get the equation or the reason that we must look deeper than maybe some people would look, and yet at the same time in the simplicity in which Christ taught. Ephesians chapter 1. Something is written there that gives you a clue, that takes you to a time before, that gives you reasons why things are as they are, and even quite frankly, why we're here today in the flesh. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, not by the will of man, not by somebody else, he was struck down on the road to Damascus, chosen by God. To the saints, that means the set aside ones, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. My Christian friends, is what he's saying, those that love the Lord. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, how many? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because of Christ, because of the Beloved, then are you blessed. Verse 4, here we go. According as he hath chosen. That's elected, chosen, predestined, chosen us in him before. That means from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Without what? Without blame. That is to say, not being deceived, not being misled, not following some other doctrine, but without blame, following the Lord Jesus Christ before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined. Do you know what that is? Means destined from before us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not your will, not someone else's will, but God's will. Now let's take this a little deeper than most people would ever go. The word foundation, is the noun in the Greek, is katabo. And it means before the overthrow. The overthrow of what? Well, the false one. You see, the controversy is between Satan and our Father. And before Satan was overthrown in the beginning, before the foundation of this world, then many stood against him. They weren't deceived by him. They weren't then, and they're not going to be now, because they know who the Antichrist is. They're going to stand against him. God will use them. Why? They are destined. That is not a strange thing. That's the Word of God. So what happened then before the foundations of this earth age? And that's what it means, eon of time. Not a different world, but just a different age. Well, go with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's find out what happened there. Ezekiel chapter 28. The word Tyrus in the Hebrew tongue means rock. Our rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. As you learned in the great song of Moses, their rock is Satan. And that's why Tyrus is used here. Verse 12, we pick it up when Satan had a different position before the katabo, before the foundation of this age. Verse 12 reads, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, that's the king of this rock, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He had earned, Satan, in the first earth age, had earned a beautiful job. He had been blessed by God. Even to the point that God said, I made you the full pattern. Created you the full pattern. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Even every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, ruby, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. I want you to make a note. He wasn't born of woman. He was created because we're in the first earth age. All right. He was in Eden. He was everywhere. Now, what was his job? What had he elevated himself to? We're talking about Satan. Okay. Why he was overthrown. Why he is the only individual to this day that has already been sentenced to death. There will be no judgment for him other than what has already been passed, and that is death. It happened right here. Read it and learn. He was not born of woman. He was created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Do you know the example that Moses made of the ark with the two cherubims on either side, with the wings over covering it, protecting it? That was Satan's job. Protecting the mercy seat. He had earned that position. Do you know what happened? Pride within him made him want that seat himself. It's Christ's seat. But he wanted it, therefore making him Antichrist. Instead of Christ is what the anti means in the Greek tongue. All right? So the cherub that covereth, I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, right at the altar of God. Can you imagine that? He had elevated himself and worked and earned, God doesn't give things away for free, earned the right to be there, to do that. And we're talking about Satan. 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created, not born, created, till iniquity was found in thee. Well, what was that? He stopped loving God and began loving himself. That's a dangerous sign of self-pride. That's what happened. That's what brought this controversy into the world. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have fill the midst of thee with violence in the moral sense. And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. This is his death sentence. He will have no opportunity. You know, a lot of you'll find some preacher, well, even Satan is transformed into an angel of light, and they show their ignorance of the Greek. It said he comes disguised as an angel of light trying to fool people. Don't let him fool you. He's already a dead man walking. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up with pride, of course, because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, your splendor. He had it all. I will cast thee to the ground. That means to the earth. Well, who else is on earth? You are. Well, why is he coming down here? He has a role to play. And he's going to play it to the fullest. Right here on good old terra firma, Eretz in the Hebrew tongue, earth for you. Right here where you exist. I will lay thee before kings and that they may behold thee. And they'll love him. They're ready for him. They're going to think he is something else. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth. Where's that going to take place? Right here on good old terra firma. In the sight of all them that behold thee. You're going to the son of perdition. Do you understand what the word perdition means? It's apalia. It means to be destroyed. There's only one son that has already been sentenced to die, and that is Satan. There are many fallen angels that will perish, but they haven't been named by name. Therefore, there's only one son of perdition. This is he. This is that one that calls himself Antichrist, false prophet, and the dragon, the devil, the serpent, all in all, names that he utilizes to deceive people. And how good he is at it. And do you know something? If you want to be deceived, God's going to allow it. Why? He wrote you this letter, clarifying in simplicity who the false one was, where he was going, what was going to happen. And if you allow him to deceive you, guess what you deserve? You deserve his ilk. You deserve to be with him. Therefore, you must never, ever let him deceive you. Verse 19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. You know him. And you know that time is coming. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. We know he's gone forever. Already sentenced to die. When God is through with him, when he has fulfilled the role of false Messiah, the serpent, the dragon, all the names that he will utilize to deceive the people. And so it is. Then we see many false teachers. I'm going to call them false teachers because they are. That will tell you there's going to be wars and explosions and Satan's coming in to tear the world up. How wrong, how wrong. He doesn't come in with war. He comes in prosperously and peacefully. That's why people will be deceived if they're not very careful. Because he's not coming as a war horse. He's coming as a savior. He's coming pretending to be Christ. So he will act much like Christ. Only he is not Christ. Now, we have many teachings that mislead people. And if you go by other teachings, other doctrines other than the Word of God, you deserve to be deceived. Period. Because, again, God sent you this letter of love. He expects you to cover it. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. Let's find out how it is that he makes his appearance. We're really told over and over how he makes his appearance. But here in Daniel, it catches it real well. And Christ told you, when you see the abomination of the desolator, Satan, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you better know that generation of the fig tree is the final one. That started in 1948. Chapter 8, the great book of Daniel, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, and in the latter time, that's at the end of the world, of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of furious countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This is Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He draws it from the hierarchy of Satan, and he shall destroy wonderfully. But how does he destroy? Wonderfully what? And shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He will take over all Christianity and other religions that have not studied the Word of God. Why? Because he's supernatural. He performs miracles that they can't withstand. Because they are ignorant of God's Word. 25, and through his policy, well, what is his policy? We really need to know, don't we? Of course you do. What is his policy? His policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. That's Satan's M.O., pride. And by peace, Not, beloved, don't you ever forget that. Not by war, not by explosions, not by slavery, not by coming down on people, but by peace, deception. I love you. I'm the Savior of the world. Come with me and just fly away. That's Satan's word. And boy, are people geared to believe it. By peace shall destroy many. How did you destroy people with peace? By lying to them. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. Naturally, our Father at the seventh trump. Satan comes at the sixth trump as Antichrist. Jesus Christ himself comes at the seventh. And it's all over for this dude at that time. Turn on to chapter 11, the same book. Excuse me. Chapter 11, verse 21, same character a little further along. Who is the Antichrist? God tells you over and over. 21 of chapter 11, the great book of Daniel. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. This is following the raiser of taxes. I don't know if your taxes have been raised lately. Raiser of taxes, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. I'm your Savior. I'm bringing peace to the world, and the whole world falls at his feet that are deceived, but not God's elect. You will stand against him, allowing the Holy Spirit to witness through you that people can still hear the truth and know the truth and know this deceptor is walking among us. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflowing from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. He's taken over through the period of the sixth trump, the sixth vial, and the sixth seal. That's 666. That's his number. You know, a child can figure that out. That his number is 666 because he comes in the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial. Christ doesn't return until 777. That's his number. And that bears out in the great book of Revelation whereby a child can understand it. Do not be deceived in this generation. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. What did Christ say it would be like at his return? Matthew chapter 24. One of the last times Christ walked in Jerusalem, and they said, Lord, look at these buildings. Whoa, look at the temple. He said, hey, there's a time coming, there won't be one stone left standing atop another. That hasn't happened yet. Many might say, well, the temple's... You know, have you ever seen the Wailing Wall? There's a lot of stones still stacked on top of each other. Okay. But they're coming down when Antichrist stands there. And at the seventh trump. That's what Jesus was talking about. And in verse 3, let these words settle in your mind and don't ever let anyone erase them from there. Verse 3, after making that statement about every stone coming down, and as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, this is right across Kedron and right up the Mount of Olives overlooking that place where it's going to happen. The disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's the biggest question people ever ask. When is the end going to be? When are you returning? Well, what did he say? Well, let's read it. And what shall be the sign of thy coming, your returning, and of the end of the world? And then he tells you, he lays out all seven things. Of the seals, all seven things of the trumps, and all seven things of the vials in a simple language that a child can understand. Let's listen to part of it. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. You see, deception is what hurts, not war, but people lying to you, giving you false doctrine when you got the letter God sent to you to come straight from God's mouth to absorb, to believe. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many are going to come. I'm a Christian preacher. Oh, are you? Well, let's quote a little Bible here, okay? Let's quote a little bit of what Christ might have had to say. And then you can find out right away whether he's a Christian preacher or an imposter, a money grabber, or something else. A fundraiser, a happy-go-lucky, a Rudy Tooty, a Holy Joe. You can find out what he is in a hurry, okay? Or if he truly is founded in the Word of God and the languages thereof. Because, verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, what's the opposite of wars and rumors of wars? Peace. He comes in peacefully. When you hear world peace, and it becomes de jure, de facto, you want to get your head out of the sand and pay attention. Because it's right at the door. It's coming. And you're all familiar with this chapter. I don't have to read it. Those things that are given that he warned you of. As to how, and he brings the book of Daniel into this. A lot of people like to discredit Daniel. Christ didn't. So don't you. It has down pretty well exactly what's going down in the end times. A carbon copy of the great book of Revelation, basically. But what happens when he comes deceiving this false one? People are delivered up before him with the Holy Spirit speaking through them, whereby people still hear the truth in this world. That's what God's elect, that's their destiny, that's their purpose. You did it once before. Well, you mean we were in the first earth age? Well, where do you think you came from? Out from under a rock out here somewhere? You know? Or do you think you're a child of God and you came from Him? I think everybody knows our souls, spirit bodies, came from God. He created us. Why? Because He loves us. He wanted someone just like you. You're different, unique. And He wants to use you, but He wants to know He can trust you. That he can depend on you. For the deceptor is coming. That's why Christ said, don't let somebody deceive you. Many deceivers will go into the world. Now, skip down, if you would, to verse 22. Following the teaching that you would be delivered up, and woe to those that are impregnated with his vicious lies at that time. Then we pick it up with verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. I mean, he would deceive the whole world. But for the elect's sake, that's yours, those days shall be shortened. Then, what's the warning? Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Why? It's the Antichrist, not Christ. It's the false Christ. It's the old dragon, the old serpent, right from the beginning. The king of Tyre, the false rock. Their rock is not our rock. Your rock is Christ. So, don't believe it. Well, brother, now just hold the phone a minute. I've been always told we're not going to be here. Some guy even wrote a book, to Left Behind. Yeah, and deceived a lot of people where if they're not careful, their behinds are going to be in a bunch of trouble. Okay, it's all false. It's not going to happen that way. And you can get in much trouble, unfortunately, by not listening to false. Well, why would he say that the false Christ will come and we're not gone? Because you're not. There's no such thing as a gathering to Christ until the seventh trump. So don't ever let some idiot deceive you. Well, you just call some names. Well, you call them whatever you want to. but people that will mislead innocent people for money, I've got a name for them. Verse 20, believe it not, 24. For there shall arise false Christ. He's coming. And false prophets. You're going to have a lot of preachers that are going to align with him. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so it is. Don't you listen to them. Don't you let them deceive you. For it's going to be, hey, when it states that he can perform miracles, they are awesome. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 13, beginning with verse 11, where it looks like the Lamb, meaning looks like Christ, but he's got the voice of the dragon because it's Satan. And he performs miracles in the sight of people that they say, oh God, you want to be set for it. The great deception is about to come. Behold, I have told you before. Mark 13 states here in verse 23, I have foretold you all things. Have you listened? That's the question. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. It's not him. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west. That's to say, if the sun comes up in the morning and goes down at night, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. At the seventh trump, it's that simple. Don't ever, ever let someone deceive you. Well, now, brother, wait a minute. I've always been told we're going to be gone. Oh, well, who told you that? It wasn't God. Well, I've read it in the Bible. No, you haven't. You have misunderstood what's written in the Bible. Because probably what you read was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go there. First Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, it would seem that many people have lost the ability to read. You know, you have subject, object, and article. If I want to talk to you about coon dogs, then I'm going to start the subject out about coon dogs. Okay. You always start your subject with the message that you want to teach. And Christ is so good at teaching. So let's see what God has to say about us gathering back to Him. It's a wonderful subject. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. There's that word again. God, through Paul, does not want you to be ignorant concerning what? Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, where the dead are. That's the subject. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In other words, a lot of people think, well, they're dead and they're in the grave and that's it. But that's not true. That's not what God says. So don't be sad like those that have no hope, because you know they're with Him already. Let's see what the Word says. He says it. Can you read it? 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, do you? That sets the stage. That's the object here. Do you believe that Christ rose from the dead? Well, you better, or you're not a Christian. You don't believe He defeated death. You know He rose again. You know that He did on that third day. So what does that mean then? Well, if Christ rose on the third day, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Why? Because they have risen also. They're not, you know, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. They're with Him. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. Only the flesh body that returns to dirt is out here in a hole in the ground. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Instantly the spirit body your soul goes back to the Father that gave it, then this flesh goes back to dirt. That's where it came from, and that's where it goes back. You're through with it. So the subject here is not rapture. The subject is, you better know where the dead are. It says very clearly, if you believe Christ resurrected, you better believe everybody else has. They're with the Father. They're gone. They're with Him. Period. Okay. 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, not some man's word, the word of the Lord. I quoted it to you, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming, that's to say at the seventh trump, of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There is no way you can precede them. Duh, well, explain that to me. If they're already gone, how in the world could you precede them? Because you're still here. It's that simple. They're already with the Lord. Okay. Why is it people have lost the ability to read the Word of God? Okay. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump, that's the seventh, of God, and the dead in Christ shall, notice there's a colon there, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? They're already gone. They're with Him. 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Paul spoke colloquial Greek, street Greek if you prefer. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, let's gather in a great cloud and run a foot race. It's like you have a cloud of quail or a cloud of grasshoppers. Okay. Gather in a cloud to meet the Lord in the air. This word air is aura, which means breath of life. Not sky, not atmosphere. It means breath of life, meaning what? Your spiritual body. Pneuma in the Greek. Okay. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why? He's coming here to establish His kingdom for the millennium age. Why would somebody want to flit off like a bug? You know, that's ridiculous. So naturally, you're going to be here working and doing the work of God. Why? Because you're destined. You have a purpose. And you know who the Antichrist is. You know, Paul went ahead and he wrote a second letter to the Thessalonians because they got a little mixed up about the first one, about the coming of the Lord. He had to straighten them out. I hope he doesn't have to you, but let's read it anyway. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, it reads, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Now that's not difficult. Absorb it. I want to talk to you about Christ returning to this earth and us getting back together with Him. Well, brother, we're going to rapture right up there and meet Him and fly right out of here. That's not what it said. You're making stuff up when you talk like that. And other people are making stuff up. It doesn't exist. And if your salvation depends on things that don't exist, you're in a heap of hurt. You've been lied to. And quite frankly, you haven't read God's Word with understanding. It's important that you do. This is how it happens. That's what he's going to tell you. How what happens? How we get back truly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter of us. Don't you let that first letter mess you up. At that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, how are we going to know? Well, listen and learn. Let no man deceive you. There's that word deception again. By any means. For that day shall not come. No flitting around. No flying away. Shall not come except there come a falling away. That's apostasy. First, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, now let me figure that out. Let's see. Son of perdition. Well, there's just one. Okay. You might have some unlearned person try to tell you it was Judas. Don't you ever let them do that. There's only one son of perdition. Perdition, again, is what in the Greek tongue? Apollyon. In Revelation chapter 9, God even gives you Satan's name in the Greek and the Hebrew, so man can't deceive you, even if you can't speak the languages. Well, what did he say Satan's name was in the Greek? Apollyon. Revelation chapter 9, printed in bold print in your King James Bible, where you can know. Who are we talking about, son of perdition? Apollyon. Satan. There's only one. Well, where did you read that? You read it just a while ago. Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19, he's going to be turned to ashes from within. That means he's going to perish. And thank God for it. The sooner the better. But things must take their turn. Things must take their place. We must save as many people as we can. It's where they have that opportunity. That's why you must always remember the lambs, the unlearned. That's what's important. That's what makes ministries grow, is teaching truth to the lambs. But that son of perdition is none other than Satan himself. He's going to perish. But what's he going to do first? Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's playing the Antichrist. Okay? He sits in Jerusalem performing miracles. And the whole world's going to run after him, whore after him, that are not learned in this word from the word of God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? We talked about them. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. You know that Michael is holding him. He's in heaven. When Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, he's locked there. Michael's holding him. And Michael's the one that holds him until it's time to cast him out on earth. What does it say? Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In the English, this loses because there's a transitive verb here. I'll say it again. A transitive verb. A transitive verb simply means to provide who is being spoken to, you have to refer back to the subject, which is what? Satan standing in the holy place claiming to be God. Well, who's holding him and who lets? Michael, the archangel, who with a shout and the seventh trump is going to empty heaven of this carcass. And he's coming here to earth to play his little tricks on those that are unlearned. That's when you will shine. For you will, through the Holy Spirit, have power over him. Why? Because God administers it. It's his promise. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming at the seventh trump. Okay. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, one of Satan's roles, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They would not listen, would not read for themselves. Well, what happens then? I mean, they claim to be saved. What can we do? Well, what does God think about it? That's what counts. Next verse. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, you have to make the cut. God wrote a letter that's so simple a child can understand it, of who the false Christ is. If somebody ends up worshiping him, do you think Christ wants you in his kingdom? If you're a Satan worshiper, well, I didn't know. Well, why didn't you read? You know, a child would know better. Because Christ doesn't return until the seventh trump. Most children even can count from 1 to 7. But you see, that's the way it is. If they don't listen, God will even add on to their delusion. We're going to fly away to happy never, never land. And there we will find peace forever. You'll find deception, lies, torture, like you've never known before. Because to find out you served as a Christian all your life, sitting on a pew, listening to a man, not reading for yourself, that you were a Satan worshiper. You would be, Revelation chapter 9 says people will be so ashamed they'll be praying for mountains to fall on them because they're so ashamed they can't face Christ because they worship Satan. Don't put yourself in that position. The embarrassment, the grief, the unpleasantries. But, well, just how can we put a little cap on this to document again? Well, the book of Revelation, of course. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Christ has been leading to this all through this little study here of who the Antichrist is and what would happen. There's a war about to happen in heaven just before you hear of peace, peace here on earth. Let me tell you about that war in heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Well, wonder who that is. Well, stick on and read here. And the dragon fought and his angels. You know, an intelligent person knows who that is, but God's going to tell you anyway, okay? And prevailed not. Michael won. Neither was their place anymore found anymore in heaven. All over in heaven for them. That's wonderful for heaven, but that's hell on earth. He's coming here. And the great dragon was cast out. Listen to him. Here's his name. The great dragon, that old serpent, that's from the garden, called the devil, Isaiah 14, and Satan, which deceived with the whole world. How much of it? The whole world. We're going to fly right into his lap. I'm ready. I've been saved. Saved by who? That's the question. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. This is why Paul would teach in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a woman had better have Christ over her head because of the angels. They're coming back. The same ones that were in Genesis chapter 6 that brought about giants, Gibeon. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, that's what Satan is, always accusing. Do you know he accuses you up there today? When you mess up, he said, Lord, did you see that? Do you see what one of your elect did? Accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I mean, always on guard. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you do it. And by the word. How do they overcome him? By the word of thy testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Satan's name is death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Satan, that old devil, which is called death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. How could anyone not know who the Antichrist is? Who's coming down? Just told you. Used all of his names so that you couldn't make a mistake. The old serpent. The dragon, the false prophet, Antichrist, little horn. I could go on and on. The vile person. How easily can you be deceived? For really, in all the names, there's only one. And that's Satan himself. He would never, in the first earth age, he wanted that mercy seat. He wanted to be Jesus. He couldn't. because God would not allow it naturally. So naturally, he would never let another entity take that place. He wants it for himself. That's how prideful and selfish he is. He will be the Antichrist. He would never let anyone else play that role. And boy, is he loaded with little tricks. You haven't seen anything yet as far as miracles. You know, it is written in the Greek in Revelation 13 that he can snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven. Whoa! That would impress a lot of people. That might even impress you. Okay. But except for one thing, you know he's the fake and you know that he is supernatural, and God is going to allow that. And you don't have to be afraid of it. His bolts could strike right on you, and just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were protected in the fiery furnace, you're protected. You have power over him. Why? You're one of God's elect. So let no man deceive you as to who the Antichrist is. There will be many false teachers in these end times that will try to deceive people. But the deception itself can be your ruin if you worship that false one. Instead, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the blood of the true Lamb, and be able to count from 1 to 7 and keep things in chronological order, you'll never have anything to worry about. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Thank you for foretelling us all things that are necessary for us to be prepared. We give you the praise and the thanks for it in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The mark of